Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. If you're listening on 104.6 FM in the Auckland region or on planetaudio.org.nz, I hope you enjoy the show today. Before we go to our first guest, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland Central Business District. No more roadworks outside of there, thank goodness. And they have the best of local craft and international draft beer on tap. They have a selection of bottled beer. They have fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Wow, we might as well rip into it. And here to join us, as he joins us every Saturday to critique us on rugby and probably to have a general go at me, former All Black great AJ Whitten. Good morning to you, AJ.
Yeah, good morning to you, mate. It is a good morning and a long one, but certainly some interesting rugby last night from both matches. And interesting play.
Anyway, before we get on to what was on the field, we talk about off the field. Obviously, the news were, I broke a story last week towards the end of my show, concerning Moana Pacifica, when I spoke to Mark Watson and Sean Summerfield, and there were rumours going around. We've both heard rumours ourselves, AJ. Well, the rumours ended up to be true. Moana Pacifica will finish up at the end of the season unless somebody can front up with at least $10 million to get them through 2027. The reality is that, yes, it came with some really great intentions, but the reality is dwindling crowds, not being able to secure the top players, even though last year they had Artie Sevilla, and that's something we'll talk about in this discussion where he goes to. It's just the simple realities of the sporting economic world now, AJ, sadly.
I think when they initially came on board, there was a talk about supporting more in depth Moana Pacifica. And then coming on board, though, but you've got to, it's a business, and it's hard when you talk to people because, you know, they love their rugby and they certainly deserve to have an opportunity. But commercially, you've certainly got to get all your ducks in a row. And I know the franchises that are the five that are originally on board have been there for a while and they've battled at times, but it's they've had good structure, and you've certainly got to have that in place and the commercial knowledge of the market to get your business viable, because you've got to pay bills week in, week out, and you're in it for the long haul. It's not just sustaining something for 3 or 4 years, and I know they had sponsorship in regards from New Zealand Rugby and World Rugby, but after those agreements have finished, you've still got to sustain your business. So it just shows you how tough it is at times and fragile, and of course when you're probably selecting players where the other five franchises have got first dibs, to be honest, it makes it difficult, and you need quality in depth, and that's been a problem. And so too with the Highlanders in some respect. They do punch above their weight at times, but just where the realities are in this market, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes, Peggy. And you mentioned that sort of figure of $10 million. For a start, well, that's just for 1 year. What about the next 5 or 10? So it's not just just coming in for a year. You've got to look long term if it's going to be sustainable, and that's going to be very difficult unless someone's got some very deep pockets. And of course, with Artie Sevilla coming back, all of a sudden some checkbooks may be around.
I suspect when that news came out that Carl Budge was on the phone, the CEO of the Blues.
Yeah, I think, look, we don't know. We're only guessing in, but, you know, it'll be a great talking point for a while. But certainly the Blues could do with him. I think there is a natural alignment to the fact of South Auckland, of course. Our Pacifica and Maori population is in depth there. There'd be some great support, I think, if Artie was here, of course, and they come out in force. And that could be something that they will be looking at very, very seriously. But anyway, we just wait and see what develops.
Absolutely. Well, we go to the game last night. Blues 47, Highlanders 14. I have to say for the Blues, Anton Seguin probably played his best game for the Blues. Sam Dowry was very good. AJ Lamb was just tearing through. But the Highlanders really came back at them with force. Lennox. Lennox was fantastic.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. A good battle, as we knew, for the first 15, 20 minutes. Always is. Both teams are firing shots. Just took a while to settle down. And then all of a sudden, they close at halftime, then they took off. But honestly, 87 points sounds entertaining, but I wouldn't want to be a defence coach for both sides. You just can't leak that amount of points in a match. And when you're heading into your top six and to be a competitor, boy, you've already got some work to do, because you're not going to win in a title leaking into points, and especially at the end there with 8 minutes to go, and then there are 14 points ahead. And I was actually obviously slumming it, because no, I wasn't. I was in a box, of course. And
oh, what a surprise.
Beverage and plenty to eat. And I had a bet with someone, and I said, you watch the Highlanders. I said, as soon as we had the yellow card and they got a try, bridge the gap to 14, I said, it'll go down to the wire. They'll get a sniff. And we just seemed to fall apart, lose our direction. And a bit disappointing for the Blues to finish, yes, take the win. But look, I tell you what, they could have been a draw at the end of it. The big talking point, of course, Caleb Tangatao being severely tackled. Yes, there'll be controversy there, direct contact with the head, yellow card, but it was pretty severe. So I think they dodged a bullet. And I assure you, if he'd been sent off and been a red card, I think it could have been a different scoreline. But yeah, you mentioned Sedna. Look at the positives. Great leadership, great game, and it just goes to show you the value of this young man. He is really developing into just a solid performer week in and week out, and I think the Blues have got to keep him in cotton wool. If they lose him, I think they're in trouble. In the scrum, you mentioned Darren Gabe was all, but the scrum was under some pressure. So look, lively game, but certainly some areas to work on, and I think they'll just take this win. They won't be crowing and get on the horse next week.
Absolutely. Then we went later on to Sydney. Waratahs 29, Moana Pacifica 14. Really, that first half from Moana, they really played with a lot of courage, a lot of spirit. Matavao at halfback, very quick thinking in those two tries. But have to say, Harvey at fullback for the Waratahs, he is a very, very good player.
Yep. You mentioned the two players I was going to mention. And Pacific, I mean, Moana, I mean, if they could play like that on a consistent basis, that would certainly be in the fight. But again, just splitting off in that second half, I think the Waratahs got a rude awakening. But look, great first half, real good commitment. And I guess this is what happens when you're in the press, the news is not good. How do the players come out? And they came out firing. And they played some really good footy. So 14-12 at half time, they're in with a sniff. But you just had the feeling that it was only a matter of time before the Tars got into it. And a bit scrappy in the second half. But they did come through, got that vital bonus point. But you mentioned Harvey, very exciting with Jorgensen out wide there. But also, you know, hats up to the Minor Pacific, have played some pretty solid rugby. But again, just haven't quite got the full package.
And, of course, now we go to the weekend again. Big one in Hamilton, the Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes were impressive last week, AJ. The Chiefs, they're there or thereabouts, but this one is going to be a very vital game for probably more the Chiefs than the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Certainly the Hurricanes are on a roll. Craig Laidlaw, of course, got a very good pool of players, and I'm talking depth right through his squad. They will go out as favourites, and they should do, but playing the Chiefs at home, well, as you said, it's pretty vital to see where they stand, if they can win at home and beat the Hurricanes. And he's only made one change as Laidlaw, so that shows you how confident and settled the team is. They know who their 15 is going out and their bench reserve, so in a very good position, and the injuries are pretty low, so confidence is extremely high. But the Chiefs, this is the match, all right, at home. They know what's at stake. Jacobson bringing up his 100th Super Rugby game, so congratulations to him. And he's a workhorse. So, but they're going to have to play some of their best rugby. Great matchups right across front rows. You know, you've got Amur and number twos there. You've got the loose forwards. You know, Parker at the boot there, and Larko, he'll be captaining the side. Roygaard, of course, we know he's in fine form with love, solid back lines, and I just can't wait. Tupai's playing some brilliant rugby there, matching up there, of course, with Proctor. I mean, there's some battles right across the pitch. So, yeah, certainly the game of the round. Looking forward to it. Close one. I'm going to take the Canes by a couple, but, yeah, wouldn't surprise me if the Chiefs got up. Should be a ripper.
Brumbies versus Fiji and Drua. Well, the Drua have to travel to different conditions, like a very cold Canberra. I think the Brumbies just become too good.
Well, you'd think so, but I've been disappointed with the Brumbies this year. I just don't think they've been consistent enough, especially at home, where it used to be, as they say, like Fort Knox there. So I think they've been a bit inconsistent. I'm not sure which team's going to turn up. The games I pick them to win, they lose. And the ones I think they lose, they win. So very important then to keep in touch with the New Zealand franchises. They have been obviously the first choice of the teams in Aussie, and I just don't think they've been that consistent this year with Larkin. And so, look, I'm going to pick obviously the Brumbies. Fiji travelling, of course, always becomes difficult. I think Armstrong Ravula's certainly got a big role to play in how he controls the game then with what ball will pull Fiji Drua. But at home, the Brumbies, you think they would have this one, but I just like them to play a bit more consistent, use the ball a bit more wisely, and use some of their back line. You know, they've got this guy right at fullback. Sapsford's got some pace. Just make sure they give the ball a bit of space, a bit of air, and see if they can run in some good tries, just to give them some confidence coming into the busy end of the season.
And, of course, to end the round, it's in Perth, Force versus the Crusaders. Now, the Crusaders lineup is probably one of the least experienced Crusaders lineups I've seen in a very, very long time, AJ.
Yes, he made six changes, and of course losing last week didn't help. That wasn't expected. I picked them to win, of course, and at home with the Force, and you and I know who you'll be picking. The Force are playing a good brand of rugby. Yep, losing the odd one just, but they're not the pushover side of the past where you just rock up there and take the points and get back on the plane. So the Crusaders have one up, one down. They need to win this to keep their aspirations alive, and of course with the Super Round next weekend, they want to go in with a win under their belt. So I think they'll have some pressure to win there, but win well. And I say making some changes doesn't help to give some guys a run. So look, going to pick the Crusaders, of course, as I always do. Leo Willey, number 8, he's leading the side, but they've got a good loose forward with Gardner and Lee, who's playing well, this boy Lee. But I'd like to see some more direction from Chapman and Kamara and their combination, 9 and 10. Yeah, looking forward to seeing the match, but they're going to have to work hard for it, and it wouldn't surprise me if we're all biting our nails near the end of the match.
Absolutely. And of course the weekend for you. Now I won't be able to be out at Grandma today because well, you know, you've all got about 50 homes at Grandma, but to watch my mob give you guys the spanking that you guys absolutely deserve.
Well, I know, of course, we're playing Eden, are very much close to your heart, knowing that you played at that level of Premier Rugby and you know what you do. Sorry, you were the water boy for 32 years. But anyway, look, Grammar should prove too strong. I hope they do. Good start. We've got a tough game again next week, too, against Varsity. So, no, I look forward. I was going down there. I was actually going to buy you a beer, but you're not going to be there.
Well, I've got it's my brother's 60th birthday party. So, you know, we're going out for a few drinks in the centre. I said, you know, mate, it's a milestone birthday, so I've got to be there for family.
Family comes first. the most enjoyable. But I'll be down at Grammar there, and you go out and celebrate wherever your fixture is, and enjoy yourself, and pass on my regards to your brother for his 60th. Yeah, great achievement.
Oh, thank you very much, AJ. And just a big shout-out to Fenton and Tigger and all the crowd.
Yes, Leo and Tigger, and of course, Marlo and Ted, they will be texting. I actually got some texts from Fenton. She bloody loves her footy, and they said they were all biting their nails and tense, and there was some language I can't repeat on my texts about to tell the Blues to get their bums moving. So
I don't want you to say it on here. As you know, I pass very, very close to BSA sometimes, and I've got to be careful, and accidentally I've actually said the odd word, and I've had to say the odd word where I've had to delete out and got slapped on the hands by the station. So, yeah. So, no, we won't go there, mate. Anyway, you have a wonderful weekend.
And you too. Have a good night tonight, and don't forget, go into those pockets. I know they're down by your ankles, but give it a whirl, mate.
Yeah, well, so's my stomach. Bye-bye.
Good one, boy.
Cheers. AJ Wheaton, fantastic. Okay, so next up we've got my good friend Stephen Harris, as we will be speaking, and not only we'll be speaking about a club rugby, so just give us a minute. One, two, three. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and this segment is brought to you by Force Electrical. Force Electrical was started in 2014 by my old mate Nick Brakovich, and it's grown into a trusted name across the wider region, and this is why you should choose them. First of all, reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do, well, what they do, no job too big, no job too small. They cover residential and commercial projects. Ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage, and will also provide ELV solutions. So, any electrical work you need, give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021-628-341, or you can email nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Well, it's a... It's great to be here, and it's great to talk a bit of club rugby. Please welcome the wonderful man himself of club rugby, Stephen Harris. Good morning to you, young man.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Amon. Once again, always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore. And also good morning to your listeners, your very loyal listeners.
Absolutely, all five of them in the phone box. No. We're actually, we've done some stuff. We're actually surprising our numbers are very good, actually, at the moment. Anyway, we might as well kick it off. We go to Northland Club Rugby. So these are the games. We start off with Otamatea versus Kerikeri, Carmo versus Mid-Northern. That will be interesting. Horror Horror versus Old Boys Marist, Western Sharks versus Hikarangi, Anate Hine Moriwa versus Wellsford.
Yeah, probably the first. Some of them are pretty easier to pick than others. Of course, Otamatea hosting Kerikeri, bottom of the table clash. Otamatea at home, but I think the visitors will just be a little bit too sharp for Otamatea. Of course, Mid-Northern unbeaten after four games. They've been racking up some points. They were basically only held to about a 20-point victory last weekend, admittedly in wet conditions, and they are resting a few players today. So they'll come up against a Como team that will be desperate to basically get back on the winning ledger after going down to Horahora last weekend. But I think Mid Northern are just going to travel on their merry way. Horahora, Old Boys Marist, definitely the game of the round. Horahora, since that, remember that very first loss, they lost by 60-odd points to Mid Northern in the first round. Since then, they've managed to get a few players back. I believe they might have at least one player back from the wider Blues, the Blues development squad today, Eslay Funnel, against OBM. They're playing at home. Their supporters are in behind them. I think they'll be too strong. Western Sharks, Hikurangi, that's out in Dargaville, might be just a bridge too far for Hikurangi, the home side. Western Sharks, who are sitting in sixth place, they will want to stay there or thereabouts. And, of course, the final game in the round, is that Wellsford, Ngāti Henimore?
Yep.
Where are you? You're not a Kalakaua? Now, where is that game being played?
At Ngāti Henimore.
Yeah, I'd probably have to go for the home side on that one. But, yeah, crazy to think that they are in round five at this moment.
So then we go down the motorway to North Harbour. We started off Maharangi versus East Coast Bays. The game of the round, Massey versus North Shore. Takapuna versus Kumu. And a bit of a Rodney District neighbours battle between Silverdale and Helensville. We start off with the first game, Stephen.
Yeah, Maharangi versus East Coast Bays. Would you describe that one as a local derby?
Well, no, you wouldn't call it. Well, possibly would, yeah.
No, that would be Silverdale, wouldn't it?
Silverdale and Helensville, Rodney Derby. I'm bringing these in. I'm bringing modern stuff into the show, Stephen.
So it's basically 4th versus 5th. My good grief. I ripped Maharangi off last weekend. I reckon they're half a chance against East Coast Bays. I'll go for Maharangi.
This one, Massey versus Shaw. This one is a game of the round, mate.
100%. And where is this being played?
Massey.
Massey. And based on home ground advantage, I might go for a bit of an upset today. Massey, I think they'll be up for this one. I know North Shore's the team to beat, but I'll go for Massey on this day.
Takapuna versus Kumu and Oniwa Domain.
Takapuna will be far too good for Kumu on this way. Apologies to all those listening from Kumu.
And Silverdale versus Helensville at home.
Now, that is another bottom of the table as well. I reckon Silverdale, if they're at home, I think they'll probably do the business, be too strong for Helensville.
Okay, so we go further down the southern motorway to Counties Manukau. So we have four games. So Karaka versus Bombay, Papakura versus Apukekohe, Weymouth versus Ardmore Marist, and Mangarewa versus Padamahoe. So we started off at home, Karaka versus Bombay. You'd have to go Karaka.
Yeah, it's third versus sixth, but in effect, there's probably a bit of distance between those sides. Karaka too good at home.
Papakura versus Pukekohe. Papakura may be at home, but I think Pukekohe's too strong there, Stephen.
Yeah, Pukekohe will want to still try and stay in that top four. Pukekohe far too strong.
Weymouth versus Ardmore Marist, well, I think this would, if this had been a couple of, two or three years ago, this would have been a close match, but now, no.
No, exactly, no, not at all. Ardmore Marist, top of the table as well, jeepers, and I think they'll continue with that. Only unbeaten team, if I'm correct.
Correct, yes, you are. Mangarewa versus Padamahoe, this one's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, it will be, actually. Padamahoe in second, Manurewa playing at home, boy. You wish, times like this, you wish you could be in three places at once, clone yourself to get out to some of these games, but I think, I'm thinking the visitors, Padamahoe, might be a bit too strong.
Dale Budge will be happy with you, Stephen, I'll let you know that, mate.
No worries.
Brad Padamahoe. Hope you're listening, Budgie, and enjoying the show. Anyway, we move on to Auckland Women's Premiers. So we go Mangarewa versus Ponsonby, Silverdale versus College Rifles, and Massey Kumu making their debut versus Papatoa. So we go Mangarewa versus Ponsonby. Mangarewa had a good win against Marist last week.
They did, and I'm going to go Manurewa again. I was actually at that game, and I was highly impressed at what I saw. I'll go Manurewa.
Yeah, Silverdale versus College Rifles. You probably would have to give it to Rifles.
Yeah, Rifles on that evidence, absolutely.
Now, this last one, and good on Massey and Kumu for amalgamating for this competition versus Papatoe. The reality is Papatoe's been there for a while. And I think the reality is that I think Papatoe beat them.
Listen, based on that alone, I think you'll have to go for Papatoe too.
And then we go to Auckland's men's, I've just written it down the way I've saw it on Tribe, so for anyone who thinks that we're showing bias towards our clubs, well, yes, we are, and if you don't like it, well, give me a call. Okay, Suburbs versus Marist.
Yeah, this is a really big game for Suburbs to just put a bit of a line in the sand. And we played Marist last weekend, but I'll probably go for Marist, but I would not be surprised if this went the other way.
Absolutely. So then we go University versus Pakuranga. University have been impressive in pre-season.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's no reason why they can't carry on with that form.
Then we have Manukau, back up in First Division, taking on College Rifles. I'm going to be quite honest with you, Steve. I think Manukau are going to see the realities of First Division rugby.
Yeah, I hate to say it. You could be right. Hope I'm wrong, but yeah, Rifles to be far too strong.
Okay, we're not going to call the winners of these games because, you know, but...
No, not at all. We can. Listen, just... I think Waitemata obviously playing at home today, young side, several making their debut. God, you look at the Ponsonby side, I think I might have counted over 500 caps in that Ponsonby side, and you'd expect them to be too strong, let's be honest.
Absolutely. And of course, then we have Grammar Tech versus Eden. Now, I've always promised to be balanced this year, but have you ever seen the movie 300, where 300 take on a big empire? That's what Eden's taken on. We're taking on about, one club takes on a club of made up about 20 or 30, sorry, Grammar people, but I am hoping, I am praying that the sun opens up around at Gribblehurst Park, as I always say.
Yeah.
I know who you're going to pick. You're going to pick G-Tech, I know.
Oh, mate, I just hope it's a good game. I'm going to leave it at that, man.
Oh, mate.
I'm sitting firmly on the... On the front.
Have you had a call from Winston to go in the general election or something?
Yeah, whenever I went against you guys last year, I paid a price. Hey man, no matter how the day goes, have a great day today, man. I've got to go because my car's all done.
So. No worries. You take care, Stephen.
All right, buddy. Catch you, mate.
Cheers, bye. That was Stephen Harris. He's really busy today as well, Stephen. So just to let you know, so we'll just say that there's a number of rugby games going on within the region. And I have to say, whatever you do, enjoy yourselves and have a good game. So I'm just going to play a little bit of music. And then I'll tell you what, stuff it. We're going to go straight to an interview I conducted on with some NRL. And I'll just give me a second. Sorry about this, people. So, this is our NRL segment. We had to do it a bit earlier today, so we'll put you on there right now. Well, we're talking rugby league, and here to join us as he joins us every Saturday, Joey Green. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning, mate. I'll tell you what, looking outside, the weather's looking pretty promising at the moment. Hopefully just as promising as a confident Warriors side tonight.
Absolutely. Last week... I didn't have a lot of confidence, but the Warriors just showed that, hey, there is such depth in their side and they look so good. I have to say, Chanel Harris-DeVita probably had one of his best games for the Warriors. But this today at 5 p.m, the Warriors take on the Titans. And I tell you what, we haven't had a good record against the Titans. So we can't just say that's a win, but, you know,
He Andrew Webster hasn't made too many changes. I think what we're seeing out of the Warriors is that everyone wants an opportunity to be in that first grade side, Joey.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I don't think there are many pundits that would have looked at the game against Melbourne last week in Melbourne as well. Probably one of the very rare times over the last, 15, 20 years that the Warriors have gone to Melbourne and not only won but dominated in that fact too. And then as we'll talk about, you know, with Melbourne in a few moments, you know, they're in a bit of all sorts at the moment. But this afternoon, hopefully the weather stays like this. If it goes anything like the forecast says, then it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a pretty game of football to watch. But I think if going off the back of the game against the Storm last week, if the Warriors can just tune up and show that exact same effort, then I think they're going to, you know, hold themselves pretty good for a positive result. I think that's the most important thing for Andrew Webster and his coaching staff coming into this week is it's all good and well getting, you know, a big win over a class club in Melbourne, but you've got to be able to show up again the next week and not only replicate it but go better. If we look at how the Titans performed last week, geez, they put 50 points on Parramatta, and yes, Parramatta are in a bit of all sorts as well, but they're no easy beats, especially at home too. So Keanu Kenny's finding a real good vein of form. AJ Brimson ruled out last night when they cut the squad back 24 hours prior to kickoff, so that's going to be a very interesting watch. They've got Jalen DeGroote named there at the moment. Whether he does line up in the centres, that's going to be one to watch. If the Warriors can show exactly that same defensive effort, then I don't think Gold Coast stands a chance this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, we had a look at the Thursday night games. Kieran Voran, he's just having a dream start to his coaching career. Seagulls 38, Cowboys 6, up in Townsville. Concerns on Tom Trbojevic, but obviously Kohler, this guy is on fire at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. And if I'm Christian Wolf looking at, you know, my Tongan side for the back end of the year, if you need a fullback, I'm not saying forget about Lehigh Hopewadi, but look at his teammate at Tolu Kohler. He's playing outstanding footy, whether it's at left centre, filling in at fullback. Very concerning about Tom Trbojevic, like you said. I heard a stat Friday morning that it's his 8th hamstring injury in 8 years, 4 on each leg as well. So you've got to be concerned about that, whether, you know, whether he's going to have the legs to carry on for another couple of years. Kieran Foran, you know, if you're Spacey Jones, you've got to be thinking about getting him into Kiwis camp at the end of the year.
Absolutely. You have
like
to.
They're playing confident football at the moment. I don't think anyone would have picked the Cowboys to, you know, basically lie over in that game and just let Manly walk through. So great signs for Manly at the moment. You know, if he carries this on for another 6 weeks, you've got to be on the Manly board thinking about giving Kieran Foran a permanent job there.
Absolutely. So then we went to Friday's game. Raiders 26, Storm 22. Craig Bellamy is not having a good run. This is un-Bellamy-like, but I will say the combination of Ethan the Strange and Sanders halves combination is really working. Obviously that big Raiders pack, but I have to say with the Storm Falongo, he has really been impressive for them.
Yeah, like this was a really funny game to watch. You know, the Melbourne really, you know, dominated the back part of the first half, and you know, you probably would have thought that they were going to start running away with the game. And then they just got back into their seesaw battle, and you know, Canberra with the big forward pack probably shows where the Melbourne forward pack is at the moment, and they don't quite have that same edge that they used to. So Canberra really starting to, you know, just find a little bit of consistency. In their games, they got a couple of close wins, and this is exactly what they're known for, just staying in the grind, being a tough side. All I'll say about Melbourne, and it was something that I read this morning, is the last time they lost 5 in a row was 2012, and as a Melbourne fan, that hurts to read. But also in 2012, that was when they also won a premiership. So whilst I'm, you know, gutted that they've lost 5 in a row, I'm hoping, like anything, it's like 2012 and we're here in October talking about Melbourne winning a premiership.
Absolutely. And then this one in Redcliffe, what an absolute cracking game. Dolphins 22, Panthers 23. I have to say for the Dolphins, it was a Herbie and Hammer show. Herbie Farmsworth, he is probably one of the best centres in the NRL. The Hammer does what the Hammer does, but then we go to the Panthers. Oh my God, Tom Jenkins, another two tries.
Oh, I've honestly got no idea how Tom Jenkins manages to do this week in, week out. You know, seven doubles in a row. You know, that's got to be somewhere, you know, near untouchable. You know, an untouchable record scoring seven doubles in a row. I thought it was a tale of two halves, to be fair. You know, Penrith really dominated their first 40, and obviously as a scoreboard kind of show out, the Dolphins really showed just what they're capable of, and you know, nearly clawing back that game. You know, they led late into the game. Obviously, Penrith, you know, secured a late try to lock it up, but then you know, they took it to them, and it probably suited the conditions as well. Like it was, you know, heading into the game, they said it was, you know, mid 30 degrees. They had to have a drinks break halfway through, so you know, it wasn't favourable conditions for either side. But the Dolphins' backline just showed what they're exactly they're capable of. Like you said, Herbie Farnworth and Hamiso Tabuai-Vido, just extracted fullback and centre. So if they can start to lean into that a bit more, I think they're going to start seeing some better results. But grateful Penrith to walk away with the 2 points just last night.
Absolutely. Then we go to the NRL weekend ahead. We've already previewed the Warriors versus the Titans. We go Rabbitohs versus Dragons. The Rabbitohs are in a good vein of form at the moment.
Yeah, look, the Dragons, if you're a Dragons fan, then you've got to hope that you're okay, because it's been a super, super tough start to the season. The Bunnies, on the other hand, they're missing Joe Gray. But they welcome back Matt Dufty into the NRL. He's, you know, been a veteran of the game, spent some time over in the UK recently. But if we all remember his, you know, his form when he was at the Dragons, he can turn it on at the flick of a switch. So that's going to be a really interesting watch tonight to see how he can fit in. I think the Rabbitohs are going to walk away comfortably with this one. There's no two ways about it. And hopefully the Dragons can just turn a corner and show some a slightly more improved performance tonight.
And then we go to the West Tigers versus the Broncos. Jerome Luai is back. Madden is still in the start, is on the bench, in which I think they've kept him in the squad. He's been fantastic. But I have to say, I think the West Tigers will win this, and I think the Broncos still have players coming back. But I think what Benji has done, and you can actually see what he is, he's very, very hands-on. He isn't a guy that stays up on a bench. He wants to be close to the action.
Yeah, exactly right. He's not your typical head coach, like you said. He's probably still hands-on at training as well. Like he's only just ticking over 40. Still knows a lot of the game, still keeps himself in good shape. So I wouldn't be surprised if he even jumps in, still at training himself. It's great to see that the Tigers have shown faith in Benji, as a head coach, and, you know, let him ride the wave of improvement. Yep, they've had a couple of, you know, tough seasons, but look at where they are now. You know, they're starting to challenge the top sides. They dominated Newcastle last weekend. And if all goes well for them, they're back at Campbelltown this week. I wouldn't be surprised if they show a really solid performance. Again, the Broncos will just want to get through this really tough injury period. You know, they're missing, you know, just under half their top 30 squad, so they're starting to scrape in for players. Cam Bukowski, who's probably their fourth or fifth string hooker, gets a debut tonight, so that's going to be really interesting to see how he shapes up. He's barely played Queensland reserve grade, let alone even had a hope of first grade this year, so it's going to be really interesting to see how that matches up. Tom Duffy performed really well last week, whether we can see the same performance out of him. But I think the bigger talking point is, like you said, Jerome Luai. Does him coming back into the side change up the dynamic that Jock Madden and Adam Dewey had? So I don't think it does, and I still think the Tigers walk away quite comfortably tonight.
Okay, we go to Sunday's games. Roosters versus the Knights, the return of Dylan Brown. And this one here, I think, is a very tough one to call. I would probably just give it to the Roosters, but the Knights, they've really surprised everyone.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, obviously, the scoreboard for Newcastle last week painted a better picture than what it actually was. They just simply got outplayed by West Tigers last week. But I think they've, under Justin Holbrook, they're really starting to play some good football. I'm really liking how once Dylan Brown comes back into the side, we saw prior to his injury that he was actually starting to show some signs of a classy halfback. So, you know, whether he can combine well with Sander Smith and Fletcher Sharp, they had a really good thing going on while he was injured. Whether they can replicate that form now that Dylan Brown comes back in, and hopefully as Caelan Ponga works his way back into the side, they can make all these pieces the X Factor work. Victor Radley and Spencer Lenny coming back for the Roosters. Last week I thought, showed us differences. Victor Radley's a really tough lock, and Spencer Lenny just bringing his impact yet again off the bench really got the Roosters going forward. So I think the Roosters we'll get the 2 points tomorrow afternoon, but I think Newcastle aren't going to, they're not going to lie down and make it easy for Sydney Roosters.
And of course, then to finish off the round, the Eels versus the Bulldogs. And I have to say, this one could potentially be the match of the round. Forget about the table. There is not much between these two teams. The key probably for the Eels' victory will be Mitch Moses.
No, exactly right, and it's basically how the Eels are week to week. You know, if Mitchell Moses is on fire, then the rest of the Parramatta, 17 seems to be on fire. Whereas you look at the Bulldogs, if they can back up their performance like they did last week, then, nine times out of 10, most pundits are going to say that the Bulldogs are going to win. But you just can't really count out Parramatta, especially at home. Yes, they got demolished last week from the Gold Coast Titans. The Gold Coast Titans are a class side as well. Similar to Parramatta, on their day, they can beat anyone. But it's going to be a closer call if they... they've had a tough couple of weeks. They had the Easter Monday showdown against the Tigers, which didn't go their way. Last week, they got 50 points put on them. This game's either going to be a really close win for Parramatta, or if the Bulldogs find their momentum, they're going to run away with it. But it's going to go either one of those two ways.
Absolutely, and of course, returning soon to the Sports Weekender, we're going to be talking some Auckland Rugby League with the Fox Memorial.
Yeah, Fox Memorial footy starting up next week, the Fox Memorial, the Charmin Cup. We've also got the Fillon Shield back for the first time in a long time, a third division of Premier Footy. So lots of local football to be had. A lot of clubs coming back. We see the Ellerslie Eagles come back into the fold this year. It's great to see a lot of these smaller clubs getting back into Premier Footy in some way, shape or form. So it all starts next weekend.
Absolutely. Well, you have you're refereeing the Jersey Flag match today. Have a good match, Joey. We will speak next week.
Yeah, pleasure to be on again, mate, albeit at an earlier slot, but nonetheless, we'll chat again next week.
No worries at all. Thanks, Joey.
And that was Joey Green from Auckland Rugby League, and that was proudly brought to you by WaterSmart. Sick of water restrictions, cramping your style? With WaterSmart, you're the boss. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean up the bait station, and still have water to keep the wife's tomato plants alive and blooming, so it makes your life a lot easier. Also, the WaterSmart filter systems means top-notch water quality for the whole family, and they have a range of sizes that suits smaller urban sections, lifestyle properties, or batches. Take control of the water game. Check out watersmart.co.nz and get sorted today. So that thank you very, very much to WaterSmart. Hey, just before we go on to we get to Broden Nucky from TVNZ, just what's happening around sports today. And of course, it's round two of the ANZ Netball Premierships, and these are the games today. It is the Southern Steel versus the Auckland Stars. The Magic versus the Mystic, the Tactics versus the Pulse on Sunday, sells the NBL, and this is, it's a big weekend of NBL, and it's great to see it back on there. A really great competition is the NBL, and of course, played last night, the Hawke's Bay Hawks defeated the Manawatu Jets. I've got that wrong. Hawke's Bay 102, Manawatu Jets 109. The games today, the Tauranga 5 versus the Taranaki Eels, the Auckland 2 Tuatara versus the Southern Sharks. Canterbury Rams on Sunday take on the Wellington Saints, and it's a real rivalry between these two teams. So that's the weekend ahead. So what we're going to do next is that we're going to go straight to Broden Nucky from TVNZ.
Evening, lovely. How's your day? I'm bringing you the weather from a satellite jigsaw. Today was fine. Tears of time. We'll wait with your pressure from the hinter to the heartland. Knows why to be a briny breeze. Collars on the up, turning off towards the winter. And Monday is a Monday, Tuesday's a thunder day with the wind that chills it to the bone. Wednesday, don't mention Wednesday, not a good one at all.
Welcome everyone back to the sports weekend, and I have to say, what was it, I have to say, the weather, they've given us a rain warning already. God, doesn't get any better here in the 09. Anyway, the week that was and the weekend ahead is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard, and many unexpected surprises that can come out of your selection. Cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise enterprise recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So contact Enterprise. Contact Enterprise Recruitment, enterprise.co.nz. They have branches nationwide. So for any recruitment, have a chat to them. And I know that Warwick and Ian, they'll be listening in. And I know that Warwick will be definitely wanting to come on here next week to speak about the Super Weekend. Anyway, here to join us from TV, from One News Sports, Broda Nucky. Good morning to you, Broda, mate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Listen, mate, we go for an extreme vetting system, and you made the cut.
No, I appreciate that. It's probably the first time in a wee while that I have made the cut. So I'm very thankful.
Yeah, I know what it's like. I don't get invited to parties. I've actually been invited to my brother's 60th, only probably purely because I'm a relative. Anyway, let's start it off. Well, it's been an interesting old weekend since last Saturday. Auckland FC 2, Melbourne Victory 2, a stunning Lachlan Brook goal. Steve Corica got shown a red. So looking at that, that was one hell of a game. But really, you know, Auckland FC should be winning these types of games.
They really should be. I mean, you know, we're really getting to the business end of the season now. And by all means, I know they'll be thinking about, you know, wanting to retain the Premier's place again. But you really got to think when we're coming to the crunch time now and we're getting to these big matches that they need to be reassuring fans of that they can get the job done. They're losing their way a little bit. I don't know if it's the injuries that they're having that has got chemistry a bit out of place or whatnot, but you'd really hope these next couple of weeks anyway that the leadership team that they've got there really sort of galvanizes the squad and gets them firing, because they're gonna want to improve when it comes to the playoffs.
Absolutely, and of course then we saw a display which the Hurricanes are they the real deal? Well, I think they proved last week they absolutely demolished the Blues.
Yeah, and you've got to remember this. Like that's not an ordinary Blues side. This is a team that has really started to find their identity this season again, in terms of, you know, that there's a dominant, powerful forward pack that they've got, and that they're using that as a platform to get their guys going out wide, the likes of Cody Vai and Caleb Clark. And then the Hurricanes just came in there and just really, you know, after all this chat of, oh, they haven't played derbies to start the season and this and that and everything else, well, they certainly showed it last week that they are indeed the real deal. And it's very interesting talking to the Chiefs this week, who's obviously playing them tonight. They are very well aware that this Hurricane side is the real deal, and they are the team to beat at the moment. Cam Royegaard is just playing out of his mind. That back line is on song at the moment.
And, of course, then, the Warriors, that fantastic win in Melbourne.
You look at that performance, and you'd have to think that's probably one of the best performances, not just from the Warriors this season, obviously, but from any team, I think. You know, the Storm in Melbourne are always going to be a threat. And I know they ended up having another loss last night, but they've lost five in a row. But, you know, this Storm side is no easy beat. And for the Warriors to come out and do what they did over there at Amy Park, and the defense, I mean, some of those hits late in the game there from the likes of Dimitri Vaimalanga, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck had that big hit on Will Broadbrick, who's, I'm sure, more excited to be coming to the club now next season. You know, the defense for me at the end of the game was really what reassured me that, okay, maybe this team has turned the corner and they're coming right, and, you know, they've put those two losses previously behind them.
And, of course, then we move on to Sunday. UFC Carlos Albrecht wins the UFC title. And, of course, interesting story, you ended up having to interview him 12 hours later.
So first, I mean, on the fight, unreal. I've never seen anything like it. The guy blows his knee out, is effectively hobbling on one leg, and just manages, you know, in that desperate situation where he's backed into a corner, pulls out the left hook and drops him and wins a world title. Insane. And then, yeah, so sure enough, you think maybe because he's on one leg, he might have a quiet night. No, we have a catch up with him the next day and he's lost the belt somewhere in Miami. I mean, you can't blame him for going out. You can't blame him for going out and celebrating. But, yeah, someone has picked up a very, very prestigious piece of silverware from the evening, and I'm sure they'll have some great stories to tell about how they found it and how Carlos has lost it.
Oh, Dana White will not be happy at all. Anyway, just in netball, obviously the Stars beat the Mystics in the 09 derby in the ANZ Premiership.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there was a lot of excitement around Maya Wilson's first game for the Mystics there after so many seasons with the Stars, and then the Stars have just come in and sort of rained on the parade. I mean, Martina Salmon, I think, had a fantastic performance there, especially late. I think she finished something along the lines of 32 from 34 attempts. Really fantastic start for the Stars and really, I guess, makes it an interesting look to the competition already that maybe we're going to see a lot more close contests this season, which I'm sure will delight both fans and tournament organisers.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the Phoenix, well, sadly, their chances of a playoff ended last week against Melbourne City.
Yeah. Obviously, I think they'll be extremely gutted. But I think you've also just, you've got to take it in the whole scheme of things that, you know, obviously, Chris Greenacre's come in there and he's shown some promise. And in a way, I guess, now that they haven't got that playoff picture to think of, maybe it's a real chance there for Greenacre, you know, to try and weigh up his options, and hopefully they can figure out if he's going to be locked in as the coach there and look to start rebuilding the squad and coming back stronger next season.
Anyway, then we move on to Monday. Ah, well, he's going to go down as one of the greats in golf at the end of his career. Rory McIlroy, two in a row at the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, to become just the fourth man to do that, but I guess it was really the way he did it. I mean, I think a lot of people would have thought after those bogeys on the early par threes there that, oh, here we go, it's another Rory McIlroy collapse at the Masters. But he really managed to just dig deep and go somewhere, I guess, that shut out all that noise and come back strong. And I mean, even on the 18th there, to send it into the trees and then casually just chip it over the top to get himself back onto the green and win that second title. I mean, Yeah, you can't help but tip your hat to him. A wild weekend for him, but to come away with a second green jacket, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Then we go to middle of the week. Chiles Leger-Walker, she gets picked up in the NBL draft, the WNBA draft in the second round for Connecticut Suns.
This is just such a feel-good story. I mean, she obviously had that injury a couple of years back playing for Washington State, comes back at UCLA, and goes on to win a national title with them, and then less than a week later, her and five other teammates from that UCLA team all get drafted in the WNBA. The first New Zealander to be drafted to the WNBA. I know there's been a lot of talk about Megan Compain obviously played in the WNBA, but Charlize is the first to be actually drafted. So it was a really special day and fantastic to see another Kiwi over there in the States playing, you know, top league basketball. And it can only mean good things both here and over there.
Absolutely. Then the news, and this rumour has been floating around for a while, Moana Pacifica declared that this will be their last season. Financially, they cannot compete for next season.
Yeah, you're right. Heartbreaking news, really. I mean, it's sort of been whispered around circles for a while there, but they came out with the official statement on Wednesday. It was interesting, though, sort of as the day was sort of progressing, and you know, obviously everyone's trying to get comment from people and this and that and everything else, that NZR came out with that statement later in the afternoon saying that they were aware of parties that are exploring whether or not they can take over the club keep it going. So it's interesting to note that they are willing to have discussions with those parties. So you know, it's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel potentially. I certainly think, having spoken to the likes of Sokopi Kepu, Lima Sopawanga, about what this club means to not just obviously the competition, but Pacific rugby in general and the community in general, it'd be such a shame to lose them. And I really hope that there are these interested parties out there are seriously exploring keeping them in and finding a way to sustainably keep them in, because it can only do good for the game.
Absolutely. And of course, we go to yesterday, Chris Wood, Oh, my God. As soon as we saw that, every New Zealand football fan just held their breath. I've been looking at what the Herald has said. They're hoping it's precautionary. They're hoping he can be available for Burnley. No offence, I hope that they do give him a rest, because I think we need him for a certain wee tournament in June. And to be honest with you, I think Darren Baisley, as grey as his head is now, he'll be as white as anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Catching up with Baisley yesterday, quickly after it happened, he'd already reached out to Nottingham Forest to see what the situation was. Because, as you say, when he went down, and especially just the facials that they managed to capture on the coverage there, it really looked like the worst case scenario, didn't it? But having spoken to Baisley, who, as I said, is caught up with Nottingham Forest, they are quite positive about where he's at. They think it was more bruising than anything else. I don't think it is serious damage, and to the point where Nottingham Forest manager was saying he does believe he could play on Sunday if needed. But
I
don't think they do. I would much rather see him take a little bit of time to rest, find himself a bit of match fitness, and really start thinking towards that World Cup in a couple of months.
Anyway, then we move on. The Blues had what you would say was a very, very interesting match. It was a game of a very good second half by both teams.
Yeah, I think there were moments there where you were like, this is just Super Rugby at its best, really. I mean, one team jumps out, the other comes back, there's a couple of random yellow cards thrown in, you think the result's done, and then suddenly the Highlanders come screaming back, and in the 83rd minute they're pressing for a draw, and then that last pass just doesn't stick. Really fun, entertaining game from two sides that like to run with the ball. And I hope that sets us up for some more exciting fixtures tonight.
And, of course, the Black Caps are very, very different Black Caps side from what we've seen, a very young side, maybe not high in experience, but they go over to Dhaka in Bangladesh and they win the first one-day international by 26 runs. Dean Foxcroft, everyone was saying, who's this Foxcroft guy? Because there was a lot of people I was just watching going, we'd never heard of half these guys, but he's been fantastic at domestic level. 58, some great bowling by Blair Tickner and Nathan Smith. So, you know, this side Rob Walter's got is a very... He's not scared to bring in different people.
Yeah, and isn't it great to see? I mean, as you say, a lot of those regular faces that we've become so used to are playing over in the different T20 franchise leagues wherever they are in the world. But to see these guys, like you say, like Foxcroft, like Tickner, even Henry Nicholls there back in the mix and putting 68 on at the top of the order to really sort of get that New Zealand innings going, it's just great to see. And I think they'll take a lot of confidence from that first game. It looks sort of like early on there, especially when the run rate was quite slow, that, you know, maybe there's a bit of nerves or there's a bit of, you know, shakiness to the squad, but they really showed that, no, they can knuckle down. And then, as you say, Tickner at the end there, I mean, pressure's on. He completely shut it out and made it a no-doubt victory, and great to see.
Anyway, let's have a look at the weekend ahead. Super Rugby. There's a number of big matches coming up. Obviously, the one we'll be keeping an eye on would be the Chiefs versus the Hurricanes. Can the Hurricanes prove that they are the real deal? And even the Force versus the Crusaders, that has some implications.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of everyone's looking at that game between the Chiefs and the Hurricanes tonight. The Chiefs, for so many years, have been sort of been that team to beat. They've been the ones that have been at the top of the table, sort of setting the tempo, being the attacking, the the flair, the everything that you want to see at a Super Rugby level. And then this year, it's the Hurricanes. And so talking to the Chiefs this week, they know that these guys are coming without any fear of taking one off them there in Hamilton. But with it being Luke Jacobson's 100th game for the Chiefs tonight as well, I'd expect them to get up for that. It should be a fantastic contest. I mean, as you say, with the Crusaders and the Force, I mean, I know the Force is sitting second to last on the table, but the Crusaders aren't having the season that they've wanted either. So, you know, that result could go a long way to deciding whether either of those two sides make the top six.
And then, of course, we've got the Warriors versus the Titans. That should be interesting. Some ANZ netball. And, of course, then we have some A-League as well. Auckland FC taking on Central Coast Mariners. The Phoenix hosting a game in Christchurch against West Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's just such a sporting smorgasbord, really, for your Saturday and your Sunday. I think when it comes to the Warriors, I mean, you know, they're coming off that fantastic win against the Storm, as we said earlier, but, you know, the Titans have been a bit of a bogey team for this side in recent years. I mean, I think there was a stat there that said that the Warriors haven't beaten the Titans in New Zealand since 2019 or something like that. It's incredible to think that they do seem to struggle with the side. So I know they'll be wanting to come out and really, reassure fans that they are the real deal this season and can push for a spot in the top four. And then just quickly on Auckland FC there, yeah, this is a big game for them with just two games to go in the regular season, chasing their Premier's plate. They play Central Coast Mariners tomorrow, who also will be playing Newcastle Jets the following week, and Newcastle obviously is the team in first there. So, look, a couple of really big results to keep an eye on in the A-League as we head towards the playoffs.
And just one thing while I've got you here, just what is the pick for next week for the midweek in sports? What will you be keeping an eye on?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, for me, I am quite interested to be keeping tabs on this Black Caps team. I think that first game there against Bangladesh overnight was a good indicator. But as the series gets on, you know, different circumstances and different guys getting different opportunities, I think it'll be really interesting to see just what those guys can do with the stage they've been given. So I'll be really interested to see whether any of those guys can push for more selections, you know, down the track.
Okay, Broden. Hey, I'll catch up with you a bit later on. Give you a call later on today if you're free. And hopefully we'll catch up soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Brady. Thank you.
Cheers. That was Broden Nucky from One New Sports. And, of course, now next up we have Seamus Martin. Welcome everyone back, a quick changeover and joining us. And this segment is brought to you by Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson in Epsom Branch. We're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market. Well, first guy you need to get hold of is Robert Thompson. He operates out of the Epsom Branch of Barford and Thompson. He has over 20 years of business acumen. He also will get you the best results whether you are looking to buy, looking to sell, and will give you advice if you're looking to get on this Auckland property market. So give Robert a call. His number is 021 737 949, or you can email them r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Well, come joining us now as we talk football from Between Two Bears podcast, Seamus Martin. Good morning to you, mate.
Morning, Aiden. How are you going today?
I had to give a shout out to Robert or else he'll tell me off, mate. You know that.
I know that very well.
Yeah. Hey, looking at what has happened in football this week, we look at the football week last night, OFC Pro League, a big win for South Island United. More or less, they've secured themselves in playoffs, 2-1 win over the Solomon Kings.
Yeah, look, fantastic series in Fiji for South Island United. They've picked up a 2-1 win over Vanuatu, a 3-3 draw with Tahiti, and then a 2-1 win over the Solomon Kings. They've got the New Zealand Derby coming up before they depart Fiji against Auckland FC, but sitting in third place on 20 points, a couple of points behind South Melbourne. They have all but booked themselves a place in that top four. A couple of really interesting games coming up. Buller FC against Auckland FC. Buller are currently sitting in fourth. Solomon Kings hope last night, probably dashed by that defeat against South Island United. But Tahiti United are actually a smoky as well, who have got a catch-up game against South Melbourne coming up on Tuesday. So there is still some permutations to go through here. I don't think the top two will change. I think it will still be Auckland FC and South Melbourne. But look, just depending on how things play out, whether South Island United finish in third or fourth, I think it's been a really good comeback of sorts for them. They were really out of sorts through the beginning and middle of this competition. But as it's progressed, they've found their form, they've found their cohesion, and they're finding, you know, they're finding the net at the right time. It was a stoppage time goal from Rovi Boyers, the Solomon Islands international, that broke the heart of his countrymen. But look, really good for Rob Sherman and the team down there, and it bodes well for a good playoff performance when they come back to New Zealand in a couple of weeks' time.
And of course, Auckland FC just looking dominant. They will finish top of, they'll be top qualifiers in that. Anyway, we look at the Northern League football, and we're going to go to the men's game. Tauranga City versus Auckland FC, Bay Olympic versus East Coast Space, your mob Melville take on Birkenhead United.
Yeah, look, and I'm going to give myself a little pump my own tyres up here. I got 5 out of 6 right last week in the Northern League tip. So
I'm not going to tell you what you got on the EPL.
Well, look, let's say I know my Northern League, I might not know my EPL, but looking at these pictures, Tauranga City versus Auckland City. Auckland picked up their first win last week against Monaco. I picked a draw last week between Tauranga and Auckland FC. I think this is going to be a draw as well. I think we probably underestimate how difficult it is to get down to the Bay of Plenty. I noticed Tauranga put their games at 12:30 as well, which means an early morning start to get on the motorway and head down there. So, look, I'm going to pick that one as a draw. Bay Olympic versus East Coast Bays. I think East Coast Bays are a smoky. I know they're one of your favourite sides, so I'm going to tip the away.
Alan Yates would never forgive me if I didn't shout for them, mate.
There you go. And then, look, I find it really hard to tip against Melville in this Northern League. This one's going to be a draw, but Birkenhead United, 4 wins out of 5 in the Northern League leaders, it's going to be a very difficult Birko to try and stop there for Melville.
And then we go to Western Springs versus Auckland United, Fencibles versus Auckland FC Reserves, and Manukau United versus Eastern Suburbs.
Well, that Springs-Auckland United game is an interesting one. I think Western Springs will be too strong for Auckland United, who are a good side. I should say that they were tipped up by Eastern Suburbs last week. I think Fences versus Auckland FC is interesting. Fences set the league on fire early doors, but they played against the two promoted sides, and they've really found their way. They struggled a bit last year. I think Auckland FC Reserves win that game, and Eastern Suburbs, in my mind, should be too strong for Monaco, who might find it difficult this season. No relegation, of course, with the changes to National League for next year. So it's a bit of a free hit, but I think they'll finish bottom of the league. And I think we Eastern Suburbs should be too strong against Monaco.
And then we go to Northern League Women's, and it starts off Auckland United versus FC Tauranga Moana, Melville United versus West Coast Rangers, Western Springs versus Eastern Suburbs, and I think I've actually forgot, and I think it was Fencibles were playing someone else, and I haven't got it.
Fencibles 3-0 last night over Ellerslie.
That
results in the book. Look, this Women's Premiership is really presenting itself as a top five, bottom three situation. A good win for Fencibles overnight against Ellerslie. Auckland United came down to Hamilton last week and put 10 on Melville United. So look, Auckland United have got Tauranga Moana at home. I think they're going to be far too strong for Tauranga Moana, who are part of that bottom three group of teams who are looking to avoid relegation. Melville versus West Coast Rangers, geez, it doesn't get any easier for our Melville side at home. Auckland United last week, West Coast Rangers this week. West Coast should be too strong for our young side out of Melville. And Western Springs versus Eastern Suburbs is the other game to keep an eye on. Western Springs are a shadow of their former selves. I think Katie Duncan has stood down as coach, and Ben Bate has come in. Whether that results in a turn in fortunes for that Western Springs side, we'll see in this first game against Eastern Suburbs. This has traditionally been quite a rivalry. I think Eastern Suburbs should be too strong, maybe a week, just a little bit too short a time for Ben to make any real changes at Western Springs.
Absolutely, and then we move on to the A-League. Well, Phoenix, the season ended last Sunday, sadly for them. I think they've done, you know, since Chris Greenacre has taken over. I think there has been a bit of belief within that Phoenix side. But they take on West Sydney Wanderers. Obviously, Costa Barbarousis will be trying to get a bit of game time before the World Cup for West Sydney Wanderers. But down in Christchurch, your thoughts?
Yeah, mathematically, you've written Wellington off before. They're out mathematically. There is still a very, very slim chance that Wellington make the top six. They're with 30 points at the moment. Melbourne City, who are in sixth place, have got 35 points. So, look, Wellington will be hoping that Brisbane, who play Melbourne City, can do them a favour. MacArthur and 31 points, also hoping that Adelaide win that game, which would set up a blockbuster Wellington versus MacArthur game next week. But if, in order for all that to come to fruition, Wellington have got to do their part and put Western Sydney Wanderers to the sword in Christchurch today. They traditionally have very good support down there in the South Island. Let's hope they can bounce back from that 2-0 loss against Melbourne City last week and they're not too deflated. You rightly point out there's places in Darren Baisley's squad to play for some of these guys, particularly in the Wellington Phoenix side. So let's hope they put a positive performance in their last, in inverted commas, home game. This one being taken away from Wellington down to Christchurch. And look, you know, if all the stars align, they could set up a winner-takes-all match against MacArthur next week. I do think that's going to be a difficult situation, but look, mathematically, still a very slim chance for Wellington, but they've got to do the business this afternoon. In terms of that Auckland game versus Central Coast game tomorrow afternoon, well, the Jets 2-2 draw against the Victory last night means that Auckland could move within a point of Newcastle, which sets up a Newcastle Jets versus Central Coast Mariners winner-takes-all, well, not winner-takes-all, but an F3 derby, which could see Newcastle lift the Premier's plate on the last weekend of the season. It's coming right down to the wire. On the flip side, if Central Coast was somehow to produce a miracle and upset Auckland, it means that the chasing pack of Melbourne Victory and Sydney FC, maybe, or particularly Sydney FC, start to get a little look at maybe finishing second and hosting one of the elimination semi-finals. So there's plenty to go in this A-League men's side. I think on form, Auckland should be too strong for Central Coast, but if you cast your mind back to earlier in the year, there was that freak bounce in front of Michael Vowd, which resulted in a goal which kind of put pay to Auckland's chances of winning that game when they last met. So look, it's a difficult encounter in the penultimate match, but they'll be hoping for a positive way to send themselves off at Go Media Stadium later on this weekend.
Anyway, we move on. Football fans, 1-0 win over Papua New Guinea. They've done it really hard, Seamus. And congratulations to Michael Mayne getting the football fans to the Women's World Cup in Brazil next year. But I don't know whether it was injuries or having to change the side. But to be honest with you, they really did test us a bit, Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, it was a chewy watch, wasn't it? It was at the end of the day, you know, one goal is going to get you to a World Cup. So you can look at it objectively and say, look, they did enough to get through. But in terms of from a fan's perspective, yeah, you would expect, and I even expected, the Football Ferns to put a lot more goals on Papua New Guinea. They certainly had their opportunities. They certainly had chances. Betty Sam in Papua New Guinea's goal, you know, she played outstandingly well with a little bit of help from the frame of the goal too, but look, that not being so clinical in front of goal against an opposition that you're expected to beat, as they go to the next level, you can't afford to miss those opportunities. They come few and far between at the next level up of international football. So Michael Mayne's got a year to really drum in that clinical nature. But I think, you know, let's take a step back. They've qualified for another World Cup. That's the first step in the mission. Job well done. And now there's, I think, three international windows, perhaps more, for them to start to cement and look to push on from where they are. I think you and I have both spoken about it as well. There's an expectation now, perhaps, that this Football Fern side start to push on. And where those matches come up in the next few windows will be important in terms of their preparation for that World Cup in Brazil.
Absolutely. Now we move on to our EPL picks. I could tell you something. I woke up on Sunday morning, I'm thinking, we're going to head towards a record, and then everything just turned against us.
I know. I was the same. I thought, jeepers, I've done so well here. I think I've only missed one.
I was going to send you a message to say well done.
And then, Yeah, well, thank you. I was feeling very good, and then the Sunday fixes came, and everything turned on the head.
It just turned normal.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right. It was the anomaly the other way around, wasn't it?
Okay, so we go to the first three games, and the first one's at 11:30, Brentford versus Fulham. The two 2 a.m. games are Leeds versus Wolves and Newcastle versus our Sugar Daddy Big Bills AFC Bournemouth. So we go Brentford versus Fulham. Just remember, both of these clubs are vying for European football.
Yeah, I think Brentford too strong in this game for me. That they're still sitting in seventh place. You know, Fulham in 12th. Brentford are an outside chance for European football, and they've got to put you know, games like this away against Fulham. Newcastle, Bournemouth. Well, Bournemouth were a surprise last week, weren't they, with that result against Arsenal? I think they might also tip up Newcastle this week. So let's tip Bournemouth on that one. Leeds versus Wolves. Look, I'm going to say Leeds win this game and just pull themselves a little bit further out of relegation mire. But geez, that one could go either way as well. Maybe a draw, but I'm going to tip the home team and go with them to win that match.
Okay, so the other two games on Sunday morning, Tottenham versus Brighton. This is a vital game for Tottenham. And Chelsea versus Manchester United. First one. You don't know what to say to any Spurs fans if you're not laughing. But to be honest with you, Spurs need to win, or a minimum a draw out of this game.
That's right. That's exactly the mentality they've got to take in. But you know what, Spurs fans, you're not going to like me for saying this. I don't think you're going to be able to do it against Brighton. I think they're also a club that have got European ambitions on their mind, and I think they're going to heap a lot more pressure on Spurs, who at the moment are 2 points out of their relegation fight. West Ham are slightly above them in 17th position. But I think Brighton win this game against Spurs, and jeepers, it's going to get tight and difficult for Tottenham Hotspur staring down the barrel of Championship football next year. In terms of that United-Chelsea game to round out the Saturday night fixtures, well, I think, you know, I predicted Chelsea to be perhaps a smoky to push for the title. Well, that's we're very much run out of steam. So, you know, Man United win that game for me away from home down at Stamford Bridge. And, yeah, I think Man United, you can count yourselves on being back in Champions League football for next year.
Absolutely. Well, we go to the free 1 o'clock games, and there's some interesting ones here. Nottingham Forest versus Burnley, Aston Villa versus Sunderland, and of course the Merseyside derby, Everton versus Liverpool, the first one. Yesterday when I messaged you, was there a real shudder when you saw that injury to Chris Wood?
Yeah, my messages amongst all my friend group definitely started lighting up.
Oh, I forgot. Am I in friends group?
Exactly right. After that result, look, here's hoping, and I think the messaging coming out of both Nottingham Forest and New Zealand Football is perhaps not as bad as it first seemed. But yeah, certainly when you see Chris Wood crumpled heap in his first real game back, that's not the sight that you want to see. He definitely won't be playing against Burnley in this really, really important game for Nottingham Forest. I think they win the match against Burnley, and I think they pull themselves like Leeds a bit further away from the relegation mire. But look, let's all hope for a speedy recovery from Chris Wood. The good news, it's not the knee that he had the surgery on, so perhaps just an impact issue. You know, maybe a precaution being taken just to manage his return to football. But let's hope Woodsy has a speedy recovery. In terms of the other two games, well, Aston Villa will need to win against Sunderland to keep a grip on fourth place in that automatic Champions League position, because they've got Liverpool breathing down their necks, and that Merseyside derby away at Everton. Everton's still in the conversation as well around Europe. That's a really spicy one for me. I think that could go either way, and I actually think that's going to probably end up in a draw, which means if Villa win, they just get a little bit more of a gap on the Reds in terms of fighting for automatic Champions League places for next season.
And of course, then we look at the final two games. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. Let's not upset the two London-based clubs, because we've sort of put the, well, I would say you as the expert, Mr. Martinez, put the hex on them. But a big one, Monday morning, 3:30 a.m, whoever wins this, I think, wins the EPL, Manchester City versus Arsenal. And, of course, on Tuesday morning, now, Speedy, you should listen to what Seamus is going to pick. It's Crystal Palace versus West Ham, that first one, Man City versus Arsenal.
I think Man City win this game. I think Arsenal may, and I've been calling them champions from about a month out now. I think May just have the wobbles again, and that's not what Mikel Arteta will want. I think Man City win that game at home and really start to eat away and really start to get louder and other footsteps behind Arsenal. I don't know whether that's going to be enough to turn the title favourite tag back up to Manchester and away from London, but I think Man City win that and we get a real race to the wire, which is what we want to see. You want these competitions to go right down to the final few matches. In terms of that Crystal Palace West Ham game, that London derby, I'm going to say that's going to end in a draw, and I think West Ham are still going to be in the conversation with Tottenham Hotspur around who gets relegated. I think it's going to be one of those two teams that drops down to the Championship, and I think on current form, Hammers fans will be happy to hear this. I think it's going to be
Speedy, are you listening?
That end up getting relegated, but I think that one finishes as a draw between Crystal Palace and West Ham.
Well, Mr. Martin, thank you so much for making yourself available yet again, and we will talk the great game. We will talk football next week, and I have to say there's a lot of football to talk about at the moment, Seamus.
Oh, look, it's fantastic. You know, a full page and a half of notes every week going into this conversation. So, yeah, it is wonderful, and it's only going to ramp up as the big showcase, the World Cup, comes on the horizon coming up in June, July.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Seamus, and I'll just have a quick chat to you afterwards.
No worries. You have a good weekend.
Cheers.
My soul saying I can't breathe. This feeling that I hold, I'm praying, Lord, I'm begging on my knees. Yeah. Say it again.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. This morning I was able to do an interview with former All Black Frank Bunce on the demise of Moana Pacifica, the options available for Pacifica players, and just the general state of New Zealand rugby. So I'll get to that right now.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Well, during the week, Moana Pacifica, the franchise has pretty much ended, and of course, you know, it's a crying shame. It meant so. The intentions were good, but it just wasn't really the finished product. Here to speak to us is former All Black great and a Manu Samoa international as well, Frank Bunce. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
All good, thank you. Morning.
Morning. Well, mate, when I look at this, when they first put them in, there was a lot of hope, there was a little bit of hype, but I look at it, we look at it, what has gone wrong for this franchise? Like last year we had Artie Sevier playing for them, and they were packing out North Harbour Stadium. From what can you see has gone wrong for them?
Oh man, that's a big question. I think ultimately it's probably the lack of funding. Mm. There's a number of, you know, and to be honest, I haven't looked at it, you know, with a microscope by any means, but funding is a huge issue. You know, they've been from, I think they've, you know, in terms of home grounds and things like that, they've been backwards and forwards, never really settled anywhere. I think in terms of player, you know, the availability of players and that, they've had some great guys come through, but, you know, then picked up by other franchises and things, so, you know, they get picked apart somewhat. So you can't, yeah, you know, it's not one thing. It's a number of things, but I think majorly it's probably the funding.
I think the funding's been a big problem. What you were saying was, I think what it was, Frank, from what I can see, it seems as though Moana Pacifica was a stepping stone for a lot of players to get bigger Super Rugby contracts.
Yes, yes. You know, and it was, you were able to see, you know, it was a shop front, really. You know, you pick a whole lot of players that, you know, that'll come out of the islands as well and didn't really have a profile. And then you put them out there on the super rugby stage. Mm. And, you know, and then they did get seen. But in saying that, you know, that's why they did it in the first place, is to get exposure, you know, more exposure for Polynesian kids, Pacifica rugby players, and open doors for them and opportunities. So, yeah, well, that thing worked, but to their detriment, I guess. And, you know, what are you going to say if you come from a, you know, a little village in Tonga, a little village in Samoa, you know, things like that. What are you going to say when someone comes knocking on your door and says, we're going to give you, you know, 50 times, you know, what you can or doing in the, you know, playing rugby here. So, you know, I guess in terms of that, you know, you can't fault what they're doing, but certainly not good for the longevity of the franchise. And you know, with the Island Boys, the you know, the value that they've added and still add to you know, to not only rugby, but, you know, look at the rugby league scene now. You know, so many Pacifica boys, you know, they're kind of doing what they were born to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when we look at the ramifications for Pacifica players, now this franchise has gone, and it was this opportunity to get out there, and the door is probably shut on these fringe Pacifica players, whether they're from the islands or whether they're based here in New Zealand, like a good example of a player that probably came through, a Pacifica player that came through the club scene, was a guy you'd know from Manukau Rugby, Faletau Penny. He went down to Southland but proved his worth in NPC. And for players like him, it's possibly the door is shut for him to play professionally in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there'd be, you know, I won't say millions, but, you know, there'll be hundreds of players, you know, scattered throughout the islands that only need an opportunity. You know, he went down there and he played, and, you know, it's the next step up. Mm. I'm rugby in that. The next level, I can do it. Then the next level, I can do it. Next thing you know, you're over in France, or you're over in Japan, or you're over in the UK, you know, plying a trade and making a pile of money and sending it home to your family, and, you know, enable so many other things.
Yeah, and I have to say, when we look at it, like, obviously, like, you're based in South Auckland, Frank, and when we look at it, like, rugby in South Auckland, like, I look at the Auckland club competition, there's only the Rovers that are in the top division. The criteria Auckland Rugby has set has been that you have to have a premiers, a reserves and a 21s. And now I could be corrected on this, but we look at the second division, there's Otahoho, East Tamaki, Papatoa, they're in second division now. And the hardest thing is that in South Auckland, where you've got these naturally gifted Pacifica players, it's the other rugby code that is looking at these players, and the other code are attracting Pacifica players that probably would have played club rugby to rugby league.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're certainly going through a golden spot at the moment, in a rugby league. It's always been strong, you know, with the island population in South Auckland. You know, it's certainly a lot more attractive. It's a lot more attractive package, you know, right now at the moment. And rugby certainly got a battle. You know, there's a whole number of reasons that's happening. But you know, again, it's the same thing. What do you do? you take your opportunity where it turns up. I can't play here. This gives me, you know, opens a door into possibly something else. Just trying to make your way in life and in your sporting career and code. And you've got to go where you can and where, you know, it best offers you opportunity.
Mm, absolutely.
And you just can't fault people for doing that.
No.
Those days are gone where, you know, the loyalty still, you know, there's still value in it, but only to a point. You know, it's that, or do I miss out on opportunity to, you know, to set my family up, to, you know, to do things back at home, to do, you know, there's so many positives that can come out of it. So, you know, whatever choice you make for yourself and your family, you've got to do it.
When we look at it, just generally, just your thoughts on the state of New Zealand rugby at the moment. Like, I know that you've been involved at grassroots level, like I have at clubs. We look at some of the Super Rugby, dwindling crowds. You know, I looked at last night's match. It had a half-decent crowd, but it was a bloody good match of rugby. But well, the state for rugby and its future isn't looking good, Bunsy.
Well, yeah, here at the moment, you know, yeah, certainly, you know, when it all happened, the demise really was the introduction of professionalism. And, you know, it hasn't been the same since, you know, since its heyday back whenever that was, to be honest. But, you know, obviously hindsight, but, money gets introduced into the game, and then everybody puts their hand out. You know, yeah. And you know, when you're having to pay players at club level, which happened, you know, you from the top down, All Blacks, you know, Super Rugby started up, provincial stuff. You know, there was all of these teams. You know that everybody had the handout, and then you know, and even finding coaches, even finding you know people. You know, the people who have held club rugby and grassroots rugby to the fore for years and years and years, those volunteers, you know, they see everybody else getting paid and they're still slogging away for nothing. And loving it a lot of the time, but even that dries up after a while. You know, so everything became a struggle and soon, you know, it all became obvious that it wasn't sustainable. And now we're finding out that, you know, you look at NPC, All Blacks, New Zealand Rugby had to pay the All Blacks, then Super Rugby players, then NPC, you know, and so there's three levels of payment, you know, at the beginning. They were paying everybody for everything. And it's just turned out to be, you know, not sustainable here, you know, down in this part, you know, and while they went through a few issues up in the UK with some clubs folding and, you know, and bankrupting and that, you know, I think that's where all the sort of the money is and the strength is in terms of the game and not necessarily on the field, even though they're there, but, you know, in terms of following and a still a real rugby culture. You know, France has come to the fore. I guess you know, you look at it and it's all the countries, the stronger countries are the ones that have the most money. Rugby shouldn't be a game like that. Rugby is supposed to be the game for everybody.
Bunsy, you're dead on, mate. Absolutely dead on, and you know, sadly for Moana, you know, like we look at it, it's just that, you know, they've finally said recently, someone from New Zealand Rugby, we really need to connect with grassroots. I've just got this feeling now that, you know, the connection is going to take for the governing body, New Zealand Rugby, to connect to grassroots rugby. I think the relationship is going to take a long time to repair.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And it's not actually connect, it's reconnect. They've had it for years, forever. Everyone loved, you know, the everyone loved going down the club on the weekend, playing the games. All your kids went down there. And, you know, sign of the times, of course, there's a lot more, there's other options now. Our kids are offered, you know, there's just way to make your, you know, to make your way in the sporting world that there, you know, now that there never has been. And a lot more kids are taking it. And our demographics changed, you know, a lot. And there is a lot of work to be done, but I think this is another subject. They got to stop mucking around with the rules. You know, continuous changes. You know, and I don't know whether they know what they're trying to be, or if they know what they're trying to be, is it really achievable? Is it really attainable?
Absolutely.
It turns so many people off watching the game because it's just so frustrating.
You did, right. Bunce, I'm going to say this. It's always good to have a chat to you, and hopefully during the club season I might see you come down to Gribblehurst Park and watch Eden play Manukau. I think we've got you at home. And believe me, I will have my hand in the pocket for you, Bunce. There'll be a few little tokens coming your way, mate.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds good. And now we're talking about rugby. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. Bunce, thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
And that was Frank Bunce, and that was a real honest opinion piece. And, you know, what he actually said really resonated will resonate with a lot of yous out there with the state of rugby. Anyway, we might as well get on to the panel next. It's Matt Buck and Lee Piper. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. So we come to the final part of the show, which is the panel, and this is brought to you by the Horse and Trap in Mount Eden. Well, first of all, the Horse and Trap was one of the first North Island Monteith Spa and has won numerous awards, including 2015, the Best Pub Quiz in Auckland, and it's open daily from 11:30 a.m. Just to let you know, they have daily food and drink specials. So if you're in Mount Eden, and especially if you're with the new CRL rail connection to Mungawhai Station, and if you're going to a game at Eden Park, make the Horse and Trap your destination. Their address is 3 Enfield Street. Their number is 09 630-305, or you can email them at info@horseandtrap.co.nz. Anyway, let's get on to the panel. First of us on line one, Wellington broadcaster and commentator Matt Buck. G'day, Matt.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Good to be on your show, and wouldn't mind going to the Horse and Trap for a couple of beers. It sounds like a good spot.
It is. Well, we've got several good spots. There's Father Ted's and the Horse and Trap. Talking about Father Ted, from the South Island is the mouth of the South himself, Mr. Lee Piper. Hello, Lee.
I've been to the Horse and Trap.
Have you?
And it's excellent, yep. No, I've enjoyed a couple of beers there, and hello to you and hello to Bucky.
Morning.
Here. Anyway, let's get rip into it, guys. Anyway, as we said during the week, Moana Pacifica, it's confirmed what we've all, which a few of us up in Auckland have heard the whispers, but basically, they won't be around for 2027. They're still saying that there's potential buyers out there. I can't see it. With the sporting economic world the way it is at the moment, you need money to survive. Come post World Cup 2027, we will see a different competition. All Blacks will be picked from overseas, but then, you know, that's the way the competition is. It isn't going to be strong post World Cup 2027. Then there's the big story. Where does Artie Sevier go? So we start off with you, Matt.
Where does Artie Sevier go? Well, I don't think he'll come back to the Hurricanes. There was a bit of bad blood left when he left last time. I think the rumours, if they were true, were that he wanted to be the highest paid player at the club, and he was trumped by Geordie Barrett. So I'd find it very hard to see if Artie Sevier came back. If the Blues an option? I don't know. Lee might want him down in the deep south, but can you imagine him in a Crusader jersey? I don't know. I wonder whether he could play overseas and still play for the All Blacks and not play Super Rugby. It's hard to know where it would go. If it was a bit more, my money would probably go towards the Auckland Way. They've probably got the funding up there to be able to support it. But just on the Moana Pacifica issues, it's not surprising at all. They're a franchise that struggled for results both on and off the park. Last year was a bit of a blip with Artie Sevier being there. They won a few games, but other than that, they're pretty much the easy beats of the competition. It's unfortunately historical for Pacific Island rugby, these sort of money issues. We know the Samoan international side's always had its problems. And what you do, I don't know. So it's sad that they will be going, and if they are going, I just hope that the Super Rugby people stick to a 10-team comp and keep it very simple. I was speaking to someone at the Hurricanes yesterday, and who said, 9 home games, 9 away games, keep it simple, 10-team comp, and let's get into it. So, Artie Sevier, maybe the Blues for me, and Moana Pacifica, a very sad state of affairs.
Lee Piper.
Yeah, the Artie thing, I probably lean with Bucky there. I think he's more likely, to your point in the intro, Eamon, he's more likely to probably try to do an overseas contract and kind of come back into the All Blacks, and his mana within that group is such that if he carries on playing post-World Cup, then that could be it. Look, I don't know. I mean, I think we all hope he doesn't go into a Crusaders. If it's not the Hurricanes, that leaves three. But no, like, you've got a billionaire owner at the Highlanders who I know is keen to throw cash around, and it's not beyond him to go to, you know, as he did with Moana Pacifica, although that was probably more a cultural thing. You never know. But I think everybody would like him to not go to the Blues or to the Crusaders. So I think there's a big question mark there about where he will go. To the second point, yeah, look, it's probably not surprising, to Bucky's point. They were good last year, and he almost single-handedly won them 3 or 4 games. Surprisingly, they started really well. They beating Fiji at Nautoka is literally impossible. The Crusaders couldn't do it. The Hurricanes couldn't do it. And ironically, Moana Pacific didn't do it. But since then, they've struggled, and they just don't have the depth. And they don't really have a player base to draw from, or a home ground, or home supporters, as we would determine. So I think going to a 10-10 comp is probably the way to go. It'll depend on where some of their players go. I think Miracle Fungalingi's already indicated he's off overseas. So, yeah, I think it's going to be tricky, but not surprising. And I think the bottom underliner of it is that running Super Rugby teams as a commercial proposition is not easy, and they are not something you get into to make money. And so, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were talking about commercial deals, and they said the only way that commercial deals are really starting to generate cash is that the 5 Super Rugby teams get together and show it as one proposition, and everybody takes a clip of the tickets. I think the days of individual commercial deals are gone. So obviously Vita Pacifica are not part of that commercial organisation, so they're getting left in the cold, if you like. So probably no surprise to see them end up where they've ended up.
Hey, just on this thing, what we were just saying on Artie Sevier, I was surprised, and Lee won't be surprised. I was at a bit of a social drinking club yesterday, and I've brought this up. Okay, what would happen if Artie Sevier was, say, given, if Fern Cotter said, Artie, would you like, or someone from the Waratahs said, would you like to play in Australia for the season? I think New Zealand Rugby would sign off on it for the simple reason he's playing Super Rugby. Matt. Matt, go first.
No, I probably agree. I think, again, it's what's best for the player, what's best for the organisation. The organisation is New Zealand Rugby, first and foremost, and the All Blacks. We've got to remember, Artie Sevier has put a lot of time and energy into his rugby, and I don't think he's far away from probably, I mean, he's got one World Cup left for the All Blacks, and then he'll go overseas and make huge money. So, are we talking 2 years? Are we talking a one-year thing for next year? I mean, it's a tough one to know, but no, I don't mind that idea. I've always thought, why can't, if you play an Australian franchise, why can't you play for the All Blacks? Because you're playing in the same bloody competition. It's pretty simple to me.
Lee, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, I've talked on this before. I completely agree. Not necessarily that I want him to go and play in Australia, but I think to loosen some of the cash availability, some of these players should be allowed to play in Australia, and Australia should sign them with no penalty. It's the same competition. What that would do is, one, it would build depth for New Zealand Rugby because more players would be playing Super Rugby in the New Zealand teams, and two, for some of our leading players, and Bucky talked about a Geordie Barrett as an example, it lessens the cash that we would necessarily have to pay. And that's one of our challenges when we come up against Japan or those European clubs. We simply don't have the cash to match it, which is why we're kind of beating around the bush around, okay, do we start to allow these players in? As a first step, it's an obvious one. Like, if you want to go down the track of allowing overseas players to play, the first step is to say, if you play in the Super Rugby competition, no matter who you play for, you're eligible. And so that makes, you know, that makes perfect sense. But I think second point there,
because sorry, Lee, if you make a great point. If we go back to Artie Sevier, he played for Minor Pacifica last year, didn't he? But there was no issue with him playing for the All Blacks. So again, what is the difference?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Anyway, we're going to talk a bit of netball. Lee, your thoughts on the first round of the ANZ Premiership?
I thought it was average. The style game was probable. Game as it was probably always going to be. I think a couple of things. I thought the coverage was pretty average from TVNZ. They clearly had Jenny May and Courtney Tairi. None of them were at the ground. So when you have a look at what Sky produced, and I know it's a money thing, but you know, they got three or four presenters on court, and it looked pretty slick. That looked pretty second rate to me. I thought it was pretty average in terms of the production. So that's going to be a problem going forward. But in terms of the product, I thought the Mystic Stars was a great game. And those two teams, and we talked about this last week, clearly looked the favourites. Really disappointing from a steal for their performance against the Mystics. Like, on paper, they should have cleaned against the Tactics, they should have cleaned out. And they were very, very, looked very tired. But I think, I mean, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, Eamon? But the product just looks tired. The delivery now looks tired. The players, that doesn't have any fizz. There's going to be some very one-sided games. So, yeah, it's just kind of meandering on. I heard a rumour this week, actually, and we've talked about this on the show around that broadcast deal, but I heard a rumour from a very well-placed source that the management team of the Silver Ferns turned down, reportedly, around a $4 million deal from Sky.
What?
And said, I think we can get more. And in the end, Sky pulled completely, and they ended up at TVNZ, where, as we know, they're getting next to nothing. So, interesting if true, but it came from a source extremely close to the organisation, said, hey, by the way, you don't know this, and then tell me. So, yeah, problems continue. They need a new CEO. I see they're on the hunt for that. And they need a new chair. I think that needs to come as the chair first, because if I was a CEO, there's no way I would go into an organisation not knowing who the chair was. So, they've got problems. But, in terms of the product for the first week, you know, a couple of good games, I think, you know, Amelia and Ekenasio has gone back to the poll, so they'll be there or thereabouts. But in terms of a product and delivery last week, nothing to get excited about there.
Hey, Lee, I heard the same rumour as you did. I mean, I heard it was up to sort of something like $5 million, but anyway, we know what it is now, and TVNZ's paid chicken feed for it. But the Pulse in Wellington, yeah, they got a win, and Emilio Nan, Ekenasio's back, etc. But no publicity around at the game. Covered off a little bit with ZB Wellington, but nothing really to write home about. And I don't know what the crowd size was in the end, but as you said, the product needs a real refresh.
Absolutely. Anyway, Matt, the Warriors versus the Titans. It will be a great game. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say anything else from that, but they had a fantastic win against the Storm last weekend.
Yeah, a win they needed to get back on the horse after a couple of losses. But the Titans came to town last year and racked up a really good win against the Warriors, who looked like they were half asleep. Don't think you'll get that tonight at 5 o'clock. Again, a massive crowd on board, and the Warriors bring Kurt Catewell back in. They've seemed to Metcalf still out with his hamstring, but I don't think that worries them anymore. The Hurricanes going as favourite should win, and for me they will win, but really excited for next week in Wellington where they play the Dolphins at a sellout Henry Stadium. So amazing, Liam, on that. The Warriors are struggling what they are, can come to town. The Hurricanes haven't sold out our stadium for years, and the Warriors turn up. I know it's only a one-off, but 35,000 expected, and a lot of people travelling to the game. So, yep, the Warriors are doing something right, and I think they'll get the W tonight.
Lee?
Well, yeah, I agree. I've spent a bit of time on the Gold Coast recently, and they barely turn up to go and watch their own team. In fact, talking to the Titans boys, they said their best home game by far is the one that they play in the Gold Coast against the Warriors, because half of New Zealand turns up. But I think Bucky's right. They had to get back on the horse. And traditionally, they struggled against Melbourne, haven't they? Because we normally play that at Anzac weekend, and we normally get pummeled. So I think what they're developing is a real depth in those positions. So when Metcalf goes down, it's not the be all and end all, and they've been able to cover that. And they've got their Pathways program. I heard Cameron George talking about it this week on the radio, and I thought his view around it and working with Webby around what they're doing in the Pathways in New Zealand Rugby League and developing those players and taking a New Zealand first approach is absolutely on. And no surprise that they're going to Wellington. I think they're going to Christchurch as well. You know, they get sellout crowds wherever they go. I think that's awesome. I'm not saying take all the games on the road, but two or three home games in other centres around New Zealand will just continue to grow the game across the country. But, you know, kudos to them, you know, as Bucky points out, the Hurricanes haven't sold out. In fact, you know, I was that Italy test, middle one of the July series, they won't get a, I don't think the sold out sign will go up there. I was at a test in Wellington not so long ago. I think we were playing the Argentinians, and they were literally throwing tickets away, and it looked pretty empty. So just shows the pull that the Warriors have, that they can go to their non-traditional base and sell out in record time. And my daughter lives in Wellington, and they were on the scrounge for tickets. So, yeah, it's going to be a massive occasion next week. I think they'll win this week, and I think they'll win next week.
Yeah, and just saying about this, about the Warriors taking the games outside of the Auckland area, obviously the expansion of the NRL, there's talk of a South Island team, but you know what I think? I think they're just keeping that stronghold. They're saying that we are still, while we're an Auckland-based team, we're still a New Zealand's team, guys.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I mean, I hope I don't know what you think, Lee, but I'd hope they put that second French New Zealand franchise to bed. I mean, we've just seen I know it's a bit different, but a rugby franchise fall over in New Zealand with Moana Pacifica. There's talk of the AFL trying to get in Tasmania, which is starting to hit the skids, and that's a very popular sport. And I just wonder whether we are a one club country, and as you say, take a few games on the road. Other people might think differently, but I think if we've just got the Warriors, that's the best thing for New Zealand Rugby League.
Late.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and I think to my point earlier, getting into owning sports teams is just not a financially viable proposition. And I think the problem we've got, and all sports, and you come back to it, is we just don't have the commercial base or the population to sustain the commercial teams that we've got. So even if you have a look at my region and the Highlanders, you're running, you know, a professional cricket team, a professional netball team, a professional rugby team, you know, two professional basketball teams at a population that's about 250,000. It's just, that's just a pimple in terms of what you're trying to do, and everyone's chasing the same cash. So we're just not big enough, and commercially I think it would fall over. As I say, I was in the Gold Coast for a few weeks over Easter, and the talk there is that there's going to be another Queensland team, and they're pushing really hard, and the NRL, and what I was reading, have pretty much just dismissed New Zealand as an option for before 2029 into 2030. So I think you'll see those franchises grow up the East Coast up towards Queensland and North Queensland. And you've even seen with the likes of Matty Johns and Tallis, they're buying into like the Titans to try and grow their base as well. Those guys have got money. Rugby league's running through their veins. And in Australia, it's massive. And I think you would dilute the product. And I also think it would fail as well if you put it in the South Island. Just simply, and South Island's not really a traditional rugby league hold. There's nothing south of Christchurch. As I say, if you take the game at the moment to the One New Zealand Stadium, they're that excited about this stadium. They turn up for Tiddlywink. So that's a winner. Absolutely. Check off on that. And it will be for the next 2 or 3 years. But I think outside of that, trying to base it there, they're not going to have any homegrown players at all. They're going to literally have to import everybody in, and then they'll find out a little bit, which is what's happened with the Phoenix. If it's going really well, great. But then the moment that it starts to tinker, I'm going to spend my money and go to other things. And it's tough. I mean, the Phoenix are doing it tough at the moment. Their crowds are probably around 5,000 to 8,000. And apart from the hardy faithful, I just think that's death.
Absolutely. And most of these owners, Eamon, mainly are wealthy people who have made their money by not losing money. And as soon as they start losing money, the Phoenix, it's well known at the Phoenix that they don't like spending money because they don't like losing money, and it's hard to get a dollar out of the new owners, or the owners, as they knew, they're quite 3 or 4 years in now, but they have to make revenue through academy, through transfers of players, etc. So it's a very hard model to get right. And as you say, Lee, it isn't for the faint-hearted running sporting teams around any part of the country. So put a line through another franchise in the NRL in New Zealand.
Anyway, Lee, golf, what did you think of Rory McIlroy on Monday?
Well, I think golf, just look at theatre and look at sport and just have a look at, well, I thought they were talking him up a little bit at the halfway stage when he had that 6-shot lead. There's 36 holes to go, and one thing that we do know with the Masters is it's all over the show, particularly on that back nine on the final day, and it proved the point again. But I think the Rory McIlroy of 2026, to be able to hold his nerve there, particularly on the 18 where he sliced it into the tree. I'd have had a 9 from there, but, you know, that then put it in the bunker and basically just about get up and down, make the 5 and win, I thought was good. I'm a big fan of Justin Rose. I would have liked to have seen him have a better back 9, but you just see the drama. I think the Chinese player Lee had a 10 on 13. Like, you can completely capitulate there, and so that adds to the drama. But I think there was, you know, 6, 7, 8, even 10 players into the final day. Scotty Scheffler made a massive climb. At one point, I thought he might hold on to at least get to a playoff. But yeah, I thought it was, from a sports perspective, even parking up golf, it was sport at its absolute best. And the tradition around not taking your phone on course, you know, and sandwiches or whatever, everything's pretty cheap because you're paying a premium to go. They've really held that tradition well. And, you know, I think it's even growing in stature the more it goes. And it will grow in stature now with the coming collapse of LIV Golf, and you'll see the golfers start to drift back. But I thought it was magnificent. Magnificent sporting theatre, and, you know, I think most of us were pretty pleased that, you know, Rory McIlroy got up.
Matt Buck, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I really enjoyed the last round. I caught it with a couple of mates. I think it's a course, Lee, isn't it, that you never tame. I mean, Tiger, I think, tamed it once when he won by about 1,000 shots in one of them. But, you know, you can sort of be 6 under, 7 under, and all of a sudden you look after 4 holes of aiming corner or whatever, and you're back at even type thing. It's a course that no one, I don't think, ever gets on top of, and we saw that with Rory's last round and his third round as well. But no, I thought it was magnificent theatre. It always is, as you say, Lee. It's a brilliant product. I've had mates who have been to it. I had a mate who was there this time, and it's just an unbelievable event in the way they host you. So, no, well done to Rory. But it'll be interesting now to see. Now he's sort of got the monkey off his back, how many he'll win from here, because he's playing pretty good golf. And he's probably for me the best in the world. I'm a bit with you. I wouldn't mind seeing more Europeans up the leaderboard. I find the Americans a little bit arrogant and stale. Scheffler made a couple of strange comments to the media during his round. So, I just think it's always good for golf, and it's one of those events, as I say to people, that people that don't even watch golf watch it. So I think like the Melbourne Cup and things like that, it's an event which equips everyone. So, no, really enjoyable.
And just as we just were with you, Matt, Chris Wood. Now, your boys would have been watching that and they would have gone, oh, no. But it seems as though it's precautionary. It isn't as concerning. But I must admit, I was absolutely concerned.
Well, the issue you've got is if he gets to the World Cup, he's not going to have a lot of footy under his belt. He's a big man, and I think he's one of those guys that needs to be playing week in, week out. So just to keep that level of fitness up, we know he's a quality player, and he always has those skills, but just that level of fitness going into World Cup. So that's my concern. I think he'll get to the World Cup, and we know a shoe there. He'll lead our team. How we go, I wouldn't have a clue, but he has to be our leader. But you just can't see him being 100% fit for when he gets there.
Lee?
He has to lead the team, to be fair. I think the mana he brings across New Zealand football is such that, you know, he's a bit like McCaw. Even if he broke his leg, I think just jab him and get him out there. But, yeah, I'm with Bucky. I've got no idea how we're going to go against the teams in our pool. But what I do know is that even if he's 80% fit, that'll help the players around him. Some players in sport, McCaw's a good example, just make everybody else play better because you have the confidence in their ability, and I think he sits into that category. So, yeah, I think he'll go. But I'm with Bucky. I think he's going to have to work really hard to get him somewhere near peak to have any chance of being competitive.
On that note, Matt, thank you so much for making yourself free. Have a good day at rugby today.
Damon, just quickly, this social drinking club you had on Friday, how do you get a ticket or an invite to that?
Well, I've got your number next time you're on it. Well, come up in a couple of weeks' time. We might get someone from the South Island go and get moffed out of its wallet. Hey, Piper.
You never shout. He puts it up that he shouts. He doesn't shout. We didn't get invited to that either.
We missed the cut, didn't we? Yeah. Good. Okay, catch you later, guys. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
And that's us done.